when we relieved the British, again, I was sort of a scout. They would always pick me to go to the front to find a leader up there and find out what they were doing and how we were going to replace them and all that. So I had an agreement with the British company commander in that area that we'd come in at night undercover and we would change positions so the enemy wouldn't know the positions was being changed. Well, he changed his mind, this British commander, and he said, we're going to do it in the daylight. So I had to have our outfit ready to move in. So we moved out and moved in the daylight, and the Germans knew exactly what we were doing. And the British were making so damn much noise. And I says, can't you make them be quiet? And the British company commander says, Sergeant, he says, we've been in this war since 1939, and this is 1944. He says, if you think I could get these men to give a damn about what they're doing, you're mistaken. He says, just wait till you've been in a war that long. He says, you won't care either. That's what he told me. So they took their anti-tank gun out, and I didn't get my anti-tank gun in. And I told this British NCO, I says, don't move that gun until I get mine in. And he says, I'll take care of that bloke. So he removes the gun. He stands up in the roadway like this, looking down the road. He says, I'll see that no tanks come. They did attack us that night, but they didn't know we were experienced troops. They thought we were inexperienced. So we stayed in the holes. We let them go past us while we shot them from the holes, and then we had a group behind us that would chase them back, and so when they were coming back down, we'd shoot some more of them.
It seemed like you were always outwitting the Germans.
Well,
is that true?
We did after Africa, because the Germans were pulling dirty tricks on us. They would give up or say they're giving up, and then when the guys would run out to get them, they would kill our guys. So we said, well, if you don't get down in the dirt with the enemy, you're going to lose. So if they put out dirty tricks, you do the same thing. And like Patton says, he says, you can read the articles of war to your men once a month, which we were supposed to do. He says, but there's one last article. Kill or be killed. He says, that's the last thing you tell them. Tell them to shoot first or they're going to be dead. That's the way, you know, we learned, and we did just as dirty to them as they did to us.
So then if some German soldiers came out with their hands up,
after that, we shot them.
You shot them.
Yeah. And we said, we're not taking any more prisoners until we get to a point where they give up in big groups. That's different, because you knew they were really giving up.
But so Patton would have said, take no prisoners.
Yeah. He not only said, take no prisoners, he used to tell us, after you take them, tell them, take off their shoes and run, because they can't run very fast, and then shoot them. He got in trouble in Africa over that. They court-martialed a captain and a sergeant for shooting prisoners. Bradley told Patton they were coming up for court-martial. And Patton says, you go back and tell those two to tell them that those prisoners were running away from them. That's why they shot him, and that I have never issued an order that you kill the prisoners. And I got two pictures of over 10,000 men where he told us to do that.
But as much as you were under fire and almost hit, there was a time that you were wounded.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, we went into the St. Lo breakthrough after Normandy was built up enough in the last part of July. During that time, though, another friendly fire thing happened. We had a 1,000-plane raid over St. Lo, 1,000 planes. One of the groups of planes bombed us, killed 300 of us, and killed General McNair, who was visiting from the United States to see how the breakthrough would go. He got killed there. That was friendly fire. They made a mistake. I met with the 8th Air Force guys here in Tulsa, the ones that are from there, not long ago at FIRST Cafeteria. A couple of guys were in that group, and they said, when we got back to England and we were told that we knocked out a bunch of our own guys in that, he says, those guys sat up and cried all night. It was tough. It was tough. So anyway, during that time, then, just before I got wounded, we were told to put on camouflage suits in the Cerise Forest. What happened, somebody woke up and said, hey, the Germans wear camouflage suits, so take them off. So the units changed out of the camouflage suits, except us, because second armored, we were moving already, couldn't change. So we went through St. Lo and on down, and we were fired on by British aircraft. We were fired on by the 29th Division and some of our own artillery, because we were in camouflage and they thought we were Germans. Three British fighter planes attacked my column that I was in. The first plane came down and he started firing, and one of his rockets went right in front of my driver and killed him, the half-track driver. I'm standing up on this ring mount, 50 caliber, and of course I'm not shooting because I know that's a friendly aircraft. So we threw yellow smoke out, which meant friendly troops. So as the second plane turned around and started to come down, he saw the smoke. He changed right away and he started going like this, which meant recognition. So they quit. That happened on the way down as we're going through Notre Dame, and there's some stuff in the book about Notre Dame Sunili, what we did there, where we chased a reporter away. We had a guy from Time magazine. I think his name was Lindsay. I can't remember. He was pretty famous in those days. He come up with a camera. First time I had seen a reporter. We were at Pont Brocard, and we were about to be attacked. I says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I want to take some pictures." I says, "What you do is put that camera down and pick up that gun there, and you help us. You're an American." He says, "Oh, I want to take some pictures." I says, "Get the hell out of here." So he left. After the battle we had there at Pont Brocard, which is described in the book, General Brooks came up with our division commander. The cameraman reported back to the division and told the general that I chased him away. So General Brooks come up. He says, "Are you the sergeant that chased that reporter off?" I says, "Yes, sir." He says, "Good job, sergeant." And he says, "What did you tell him?" I told him he wasn't going to like what he was about to see, because this is killing, man. And at that time, we never had reporters around us filming us fighting. We couldn't believe it at that time. Of course, today, they're all over the place, and the soldier don't know whether he should shoot or shouldn't shoot anymore.